الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأصفياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من ملك زادا وراحلة تبلغه إلى بيت الله ولم يحج فلا عليه أن يموت يهوديا أو نصرانيا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, my young friends and mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As we are all aware that after bringing iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are four pillars of Islam, which are considered the four tenets of Islam. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Buniya al-Islamu ala khamsin, that Islam is based on five things, five pillars. Shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Number one, shahada, to bear testimony that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger and his servant. Wa iqami salah, to establish salah. Wa sawmi ramadan, to keep fast in the month of Ramadan. Wa ita'iz zakah, to give zakat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa hajjil bayti man istata'a ilayhi sabila, and to perform hajj for that individual who is able, who is capable to go and perform hajj. These are the five pillars of Islam. And after bringing iman, there are four ibadat, four worships. But if you ponder over the entire Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll find that much emphasis has been placed upon this last worship of performing hajj and pilgrimage. وَحَجِّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. So much emphasis is given in the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that for salah, for fasting in the month of Ramadan, for giving zakat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has not dedicated an entire chapter for it, but for hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made an entire chapter, Suratul Hajj. This entire journey, my brothers and elders, is full of ishq and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only that person can understand fully who is indulged in an unlawful relationship with someone. What his kayfiyat, what his condition, inner condition will be when this person is about to meet his beloved, or when he wants to meet his beloved, or the relationship, the love, and the connection is permissible. For example, a student has a lot of love for his teacher. Or a murid, a disciple has a lot of love for his sheikh. He can understand how much ishq and love there is in this journey of Hajj. Right from the inception, right when the person begins this journey, the first thing he is told to do by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to make intention, pray talbiyah, and come into ihram, don ihram. My brothers, what is ihram? When a person wears two sheets of cloth on his body, what is he trying to establish? And ihram does not merely mean that he takes off his clothing and he only puts on these two sheets of cloth. Because ihram is a name of state. Ihram means to make something prohibited. Kisi cheez ko haram karna. That's what ihram is. When a person comes into ihram, then he is making those things impermissible for himself, or he's prohibiting these things upon himself, which were permitted, which were permissible outside ihram. For example, wearing clothing which is sewed. It's permissible for every individual to wear such clothing. When he comes into ihram, he says that I'm not going to wear this. He is allowed to cut his hair when he comes into ihram. He's prohibiting this upon himself. Outside ihram, he's allowed to clip his nails. Once he comes into ihram, he does not clip his nails. Outside ihram, he is allowed to put perfume and itra on his clothing. But as soon as he prays talbiyah and he makes intention of hajj and pilgrimage, all these things, he abstains from them. This is a sign of ishq and love and muhabbat. Those people who are in an unlawful relationship, they are aware that when the opposite party, whether it's a boyfriend or the girlfriend, or in the case of teacher and sheikh, if the student and the disciple is told that you have to stay away from these 3, 4, 5 things, this person will make a point to stay away from these things. So much so, that sometimes he will put his life to danger. He will put his religion to danger. There was a person who was climbing the minbar, and all of a sudden his gaze fell on someone's backyard, and there was a beautiful lady who was working in the backyard. This person fell in love with her. And this is that individual who used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who was so punctual in his salawat that he was the muadhin of the masjid. You can imagine every single salah he used to perform in the masjid with jama'ah. But my brothers, sometimes a small sin can take you to kufr. This is why we should not differentiate between major sins and minor sins. Many people, that this is how they think when it comes to religion. They try to find out, is this from the major sins or is this from the minor sins? If it's from the minor sins, then it's okay to do it. If it's makruh tahrimi, it's close to haram, it's okay to do it because it's not haram, it's close to haram. When it comes to carrying out good a'mal, we always try to find out, is it fard, is it wajib? If it's not compulsory, then it's not necessary to do it. If it's sunnah, if it's nafil, if it's mustahab, then it's not necessary for me to do it. But remember, my brothers, if you start omitting mustahabbat, then you will start omitting sunnah. Once you start missing sunnah, you will start missing wajibat. Once you start missing wajibat, you will start missing fara'id. And same trend goes with haram, makruh-e tahrimi, makruh-e tanzihi. Same trend. If you indulge in something which is makruh-e tanzihi, the lesser degree of makruh, then you will slowly start to indulge in something which is makruh-e tahrimi. And this will eventually lead you to haram and things that are prohibited in our sharia. Major sins, minor sins, they are both destructive. Hakim al-Ummat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi gives an example that have you seen a smart person in the world who will say that I'm scared of a big snake but I'm not scared of a small snake? They're both poisonous. He says that it's okay, it's a small snake, even though it has poison in it, but it's a small snake. If it's a big snake, then I'll stay away from it. This is a small snake, so I'll keep it in my pocket. You won't find a smart person saying that, because he knows that just as the big snake can take his life, the small snake can also take his life. Just as a major sin can land you to a lot of destruction, in Akhirah, even a small and minor sin can take you to Kufr and to Jahannam, to the fire of hell. This Muadhin is climbing the stairs to give Adhan from the minaret. His gaze fell on the lady, he fell in love with her. Immediately, without giving Adhan, he came down. And he approached this lady and he said to her that I would like to marry you. She said to him that I am a non-Muslim, I'm a Christian, and you're a Muslim. We cannot get married. And according to one narration, she was a disbeliever. She was not a Christian or a Jew. She was from the idol worshippers. If someone is kafir and another person is Muslim, they cannot marry each other. So she said to him that if you denounce your religion, then I'm ready to marry you. And believe me, my friends, this person who was so punctual in his salah, he goes home and he says to his parents that I am no longer a Muslim. I have denounced my religion and I am prepared to marry this lady. After saying this, he was climbing the roof of his house to do something. He fell from there and he passed away without getting married. He lost his iman. And he lost the lady as well. He couldn't get married. He couldn't die as a believer. The point I'm trying to get through is when people are in love, they can do anything. Because this love is blind. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, that you will see thousands of mistakes in someone. But if you have love for that person, you will not be able to see those mistakes. You will be blind, you will be deaf. People will tell you that he has or she has so many defects in her, you will not listen. حُبُّكَ الشَّيْءِ يُؤْمِي وَيُسِمْ. When a person falls in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then my brothers, the kayfiyat and the condition from inside is completely different. The person who is away from this love and ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he stands in prayers, and the other person who is drowned in the ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he stands in prayers, there is a huge difference. When these two individuals, when they opened Quran, they started reciting Quran, huge difference between the two. Reward is same in the akhirah. But the qurb and the ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that increases in a person's heart, and the ma'rifat and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that increases within a person is much different for both individuals. Hajj is same. He's telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, I am coming to see you. When a person is called to perform hajj, this is a great, great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because not every individual is called by Allah. Not everyone is invited by Allah. There are many millionaires and billionaires around the world who are not even blessed to perform one umrah. let alone Hajj, not even one Umrah. I personally know few individuals. We should not look down upon them, but this is a source of ibrah for us. We can take lesson from this. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this thought in your mind that you should go perform Umrah or Hajj, you should go. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man arada al-hajj falyu'ajjil." That person who intends to perform Hajj, he should haste and he should hurry towards it. Perform Hajj as soon as possible, when Hajj is compulsory upon you. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, when he completed building Ka'batullah Sharif, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah commanded Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam to make an announcement. "Oh Ibrahim, you have made my house. Now make an announcement to the people that they come and perform Hajj. They do tawaf around the Kaaba, around my house." If this command was given to someone today, it's easy to understand that it's just a simple message on WhatsApp and it goes in the entire world, every corner of the globe. But go back 5,000 years in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, where he was. Biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in. It's a barren land. There's not a single soul that exists in that land of Arabia, in the land of Mecca. There are no houses. There are no trees. There's no water. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to Allah, "Oh Allah, I'm prepared to make this announcement, but who is going to hear my voice? Because there is no one around me. It's only me and my son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim, "Adhin ya Ibrahim wa alayna al-balagh." Oh Ibrahim, your job is to extend an invitation. My job is to make your voice reach every single person in the world. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam climbs the mountain of Abu Qubais. He stands on this mountain and he calls out, "Ya ayyuhan nas, ya ayyuhan nas, inna Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala qad amarakum an tahujju fahujju." "O people, I have made the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this announcement that Allah has made this pilgrimage and Hajj compulsory upon you. Come to the house of Allah and perform this Hajj." And I read in the footnotes of Jalalain with the reference of Hashiyatul Sawi that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made this announcement, all the mountains of the world, they came down, and the normal earth where people used to reside in came up. So they could hear the voice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. This was a miracle. Each and every single person, male or female, who used to live in the dunya, heard the voice and the announcement of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Also those fetuses which existed in the wombs of their mothers, they also heard the voice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The drop of semen which was in the back of the fathers, which later on was going to come in the form of a child, that semen also heard the voice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Each and every single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard the voice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. It did not end here, my brothers. Even the alamul arwah, where the souls of the people is gathered, every single soul heard this announcement of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And at that time, that fortunate soul which answered and responded positively to the announcement of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, according to the number of times the soul responded to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he will be granted tawfiq and ability to perform Hajj that many times in his lifetime. If you go 10 times in your life to perform Hajj, this is a sign that your soul responded to the announcement of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam 10 times. This also shows us, my brothers, that as weak servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we make a point to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, become obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make our life the life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we try and show our pursuit towards it, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come down. Even the most impossible things will become possible. The shirt and condition is that we try from ourselves. We show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I want to do it. I want to get close to you. But I am weak. I am constantly attacked by shaitan and nafs. Oh Allah, you are the only one who can guide me and who can take me to my destination. And Allah will take you. So this announcement was made, and whoever responded positively, they will be granted tawfiq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform hajj. So this is why when someone is called to perform hajj, he should go and perform hajj. Inshallah, I will continue in my next Jummah khutbah, and I will mention a few ahadith and some stories to elaborate more on this topic, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, give me the tawfiq, and then all of you the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi, sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.